Good morning. I'm going to start with Colossians 3. Yeah, there it is. Derek, I got too many bookmarks. You write and you scribble and you put marks and then you can't find anything. Okay. Colossians 17. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. That's the point. Now I'm going to go back and read a little more, starting verse 11. Here there is not Greek or and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Okay. find my notes here. My life seems so benign, boring, and plain. I kind of actually was excited about COVID, or the coronavirus, when it first came out. Because I thought, all right, here we go. We're going to get some excitement. Well, I've been working even more now, and life has just seemingly gotten even more boring, it seems like. So it fell through. It wasn't the excitement I was anticipating or looking forward to. And not that I really wanted that to happen, because a lot of bad things did happen and has happened because of that. And I fully appreciate that. But there was this piece of me that was excited about it. And anyway, and so I look at my life, and it just seems more mundane than ever now. I'm working on Sundays even now, because we don't have church on Sunday night, so why not go to Casey's? So I'm working at Casey's on Sunday nights. And I've really been thinking about what's going on, you know, what's happening here. And I've come to the conclusion that no matter what happens, whether it's coronavirus or World War II or whatever it is that happens, if we're not careful, we'll still miss the boat. We'll still be ignorant. Miss the whole boat. I'm trying to talk about myself here. I need to purpose to choose to see God in my life, in all the mundane, boring facts of my life. God is there. He's involved in every detail. It's just whether I see it or not. I've been reading in my ritual of reading and the Bible. And I've read through Judges and Kings, and I'm still in that era, and the prophecies and all this stuff's going on. And it's the same story, chapter after chapter after chapter. People who see God and people who don't see God, and people who succeed and people who don't succeed, and failures and celebrations, and it's the same thing hundreds of years after hundreds of years. Right now I'm in this divided kingdom. Judah has some good kings and they have some bad kings. And Israel, I think they're pretty much all bad. And humans just don't get it. They don't see what's going on. And some of us are more stubborn than others. And then you have the prophets. They're all mixed in there. And they kind of verify that this is God's story and this is what's supposed to be happening. They say this is what's going to happen. And then it happens. And then people are all surprised and shocked. And then it happens again. And again. And again. And again. Over and over and over again. So we need to see God in our lives. He's there. He's there in the boring, work-related, essential facts of life. He's there. And I think since the church services have been shut down, and now we're kind of staggering around figuring out what's going on and this type of thing. And I was reconsidering things. I think, you know, you take something away and it becomes even more important to you. You don't realize what you got till it's gone. And I think the prayer and the worship are supremely important and powerful. And why is that? That is because that's how we let God know that we are choosing Him. When we pray to God, we're saying, well, we could be saying several different things, but we're saying, okay, God, I can't do this. I need your help. Or, God, you've done this in the past, and I need you to do this again. You are powerful and mighty, and I need you to work on my behalf. And worship, well, some of that was worship, right? I'm praising God. I'm telling God that I need your help. You have done this for our people in the past, and we need you to do it again. And we are depending on you, and we are needing you. So they are extremely important. They tell God that we are choosing Him. And that's the majority of our worship, or our church service, right? Part of Colossians 3 listed a whole list of things that we need to do that are glorifying to God. So, I'm going to read you a story. I'll try not to go long. All right. So I want you to listen for singing, praying, and praising God, the attitude of seeking God. Okay, I'm going to be reading about Jehoshaphat, King Jehoshaphat. He was of Judah. The tribe of Judah, which meant the kingdom's divided. The small part was Judah and Benjamin and other people who had decided they wanted to be in that part. And then there was the rest of the tribes represented Israel. Okay. So King Jehoshaphat is just... make sure I'm in the right spot here. Yeah, King Jehoshaphat has just got done. He was a... Jehoshaphat was a godly king. And he... I think he was also a unifier. He wanted the kingdom back together. Okay? So he allied himself with King Ahab. Well, we all know who King Ahab was. He was a scoundrel of all scoundrels. And his wife was Jezebel, right? Yeah, Jezebel. And just trouble all over the place. And so he aligns himself with him. And they go to battle to fight, not against each other, but together against, I can't remember who it was now. But anyway, so they fight in this battle, and King Ahab gets killed, which was predicted. And so it's verification. And then Jehu survives and goes, and they win the battle. The Israelites win the battle. And Jehoshaphat is on his way home, or gets home. And Jehu, the son of, oh, this is in 2 Chronicles 19, starting verse 2. And Jehu, the son of Hanani the seer, went out to meet him and said to King Jehoshaphat, "Shouldest thou keep the ungodly and love them that hate the Lord? Therefore is the wrath upon thee from the Lord." What are you doing right now if you're King Jehoshaphat? You're starting to sweat. This is not good news. Not good news at all. Nevertheless, there are good things found in thee, in that thou hast taken away the groves out of the land, and hast prepared thine heart to seek God. Whew. That's better news. It's not necessarily good that God says never, you know, but, you know, you're just squeaking in under the wire here. And so Jehoshaphat has some things to think about, and he goes on home. And Jehoshaphat dwelt at Jerusalem, and he went out again through the people from Beersheba to Mount Ephraim, and brought them back into the Lord God of their fathers. So he becomes an evangelist, and he goes out, and he's, "All right, people, I'm your king." I wonder if that had a lot to do with it. He says, "I'm your king, and we're going to worship God, and this is what we're going to do." He gathers them all up in spiritual mind, anyway. And then in verse 5, and he set judges in the land throughout all the fenced cities of Judah, city by city. And usually what happens when you have a king setting up judges, yeah, they're kind of, they're done with favors, and they're not very good judges usually. And he said to the judges, "Take heed what ye do, for ye judge not for man, but for the Lord, who is with you in the judgment. Wherefore now let the fear of the Lord be upon you. Take heed and do it, for there is no iniquity with the Lord our God, no, nor respect of persons, nor taking of gifts." So here, King Jehoshaphat got the message loud and clear, and he went out and did his best. And then it has, this is my chronological Bible, so it has Psalms 82 right here. It says, "God standeth in the congregation of the mighty. He judgeth among." I have a sore on my tongue, and it is messing with me today. All right. "God standeth in the congregation of the mighty. He judgeth among the gods. How long will ye judge unjustly and accept the persons of the wicked? Defend the poor and fatherless. Do justice to the afflicted and needy. Deliver the poor and needy. Rid them out of the hand of the wicked. They know not, neither will they understand. They walk on in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are out of course. I have said, ye are gods, and all of you are children of the Most High. But ye shall die like men and fall like one of the princes. Arise, O God, judge the earth, for thou shalt inherit all nations. So you see here, we start, at least this man's theory was that Jehoshaphat was the singing king, or he liked music. All right, moving on, 2 Chronicles 19, verse 8. I'm running out of time already. Okay. So Jehoshaphat goes on and he rounds up the Levites. Well, the Levites weren't of the tribe of Judah or Benjamin, but some of the Levites came to the tribe of Judah because that's where the temple was, and so that's where the Levites tended to be. So they're there also. And he sets them in order and gets them moving as well and gives them a warning to deal correctly and to keep God in mind. And then he gets news that the Moabites and the Ammonites are on the move and other people. And who were the Moabites and Ammonites? They were relatives. They were Lot's descendants, so they were the people who they were not to attack when they came into the Promised Land. And so Jehoshaphat in 2 Chronicles 20 and verse 3, and Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast through all Judah. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord, even out of all the cities of Judah that they came to seek the Lord. This goes perfectly with Shania's comment in class. We don't know what we're doing. I mean, Jehoshaphat was going out and doing the evangelistic thing and rounding the people up and putting God in front of them and just judges and firing up the Levites that he had. And he didn't know what effect that was going to have. But then their nation is under attack, and a force that is obviously one that worries him, and he calls a fast, and the people come together. How many times do you see that in the Israelite people, as the people come together? It's not real often that they think alike and come together. A lot of times they were very tribal and divided. And anyway, so the people come, and Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court. And then he goes on, and he, I don't know if it's a prayer or a psalm, or it's kind of like Hebrews, where they go back through the history and says, God, you did this, and you conquered these people, and you conquered these people. And it's a bunch of questions and a praising of God before the people. Jehoshaphat is doing this. And in verse 12, it says, O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For talking about the enemy, for we have no might against this great company that cometh against us, neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. And all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children. And then it goes into Psalm 83, which I am not going to read right at this time, but it fits right in there. And then we have in verse 2 Chronicles 20 and 14, Then upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. And who was Asaph? Asaph was, they wrote a lot of the musicians and the psalms and stuff. The Levites that were in charge of that. Okay. And he said, "Hearken ye, all Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours but God's. Tomorrow go ye down against them. Behold, they are come up by the cliff of Ziz, and ye shall find them at the end of the brook, before the wilderness of Jeruel. Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you. O Judah and Jerusalem, fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you." And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. And the Levites and of the children of the Kohathites and the children of the Korites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice on high. And then we have Psalm 46 in there, which I'm going to have to leave to you to read. I timed it. I thought I had enough time, but I don't. Okay, so Psalm 46 is in there. And then, I'm going to read it anyway. Sorry. Okay, Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength and a very present help in trouble. Therefore will we not fear, though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her, she shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, and the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come, behold the works of the Lord, what desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. And they rose, and this is 2 Chronicles 20 and 20. They rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper." And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, and that they should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army, and to say, "Praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever." Now, militarily, that is not a very wise move, to put the singers in front of the army. But God, the prophet, had told them, "You will not need to fight." And Jehoshaphat believed that and took action on it. And they went, the army went. But the singers were in front of the army, and they sang and praised God. And when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which I think was the Edomites, also relatives, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. For the children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, utterly to slay and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, every one helped to destroy another. And when Judah came toward the watchtower in the wilderness, they looked to the multitude, and behold, there were dead bodies fallen to the earth, and none escaped. And when Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away the spoil of them, see, that's where the dividing of the garments comes from. And when Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away the spoil of them, they found among them in abundance both riches with the dead bodies and precious jewels, which they stripped off for themselves, more than they could carry away. And they were 3 days gathering of the spoil. It was so much. And on the fourth day, they assembled themselves in the valley of Berachah, for there they blessed the Lord. Therefore, the name of the same place was called the Valley of Berachah until this day. And then they returned to Jerusalem. And in verse 28, and they came to Jerusalem with psalteries and harps and trumpets unto the house of the Lord. And then you have Psalm 48, which is also a good one. I won't read it. And then I want to end with this one. This is a different story. But what is so important, I think, in this is the praising of God and the singing and the worship and remembering and seeing God in your everyday life. I mean, they had prophets at this time, but I think there's many stories in the Old Testament where the people didn't know. They didn't know that this was God's finger working. They didn't know that this was going to be a great thing in the future. They didn't know this. They were hungry. They were being abused or whatever, you know, whatever crisis they were in. They didn't know that. Some of the times they did know. But still, then you got to still believe. I mean, can you imagine putting your singers in front of your weapons? That just does not make sense. Sent or whatever. Anyway, so it's anyway, I want to end with this one. This is one of my favorite stories. I say that a lot, I think, but anyway, I have a lot of favorite stories, I guess. This is also same time of King Jehoshaphat, and we're talking about Ahaziah, who was Israel's king. He was a bad king. Did not believe in God. And anyway, he was sick, and he sent away to another country, to another god, to see if he was going to survive. And God sent Elijah to intercept his messengers and said, nope, he's not going to survive. Go back and tell the king. And so they go back and tell the king. So the king sends a captain and his 50 soldiers to go get Elisha and bring him to talk to me. I want to talk to this guy. So then the king sent unto him a captain of 50 with his 50. And he went up to him. And behold, he sat on the top of an hill. And he spake unto him, thou man of God, the king hath said, come down. And Elijah answered and said to the captain of 50, if I be a man of God, then let fire come down from heaven and consume thee and thy 50. And there came down fire from heaven and consumed him and his 50. Again, King Ahaziah, again also he sent unto him another captain of 50 with his 50. And he answered and said unto him, O man of God, thus hath the king said, come down quickly. And Elijah answered and said unto him, if I be a man of God, let fire come down from heaven and consume thee and thy 50. And the fire of God came down from heaven and consumed him and his 50. And he sent again a captain of the third 50 and with his 50. And the third captain of the 50 went up and came and fell on his knees before Elijah. and besought him and said unto him, O man of God, I pray thee, let my life, the life of these 50 thy servants, be precious in thy sight. Behold, there came fire down from heaven and burnt up the two captains of the former 50s with their 50s. Therefore, let my life now be precious in thy sight. No mention of the king at all. And the angel of the Lord said unto Elijah, Go down with him, be not afraid of him. And he arose and went down with him unto the king. And what we have here, we have three typical human beings. The first one was totally unaware. Just a soldier doing his job, not paying attention who he's talking to. He's just following orders. Goes up to Elijah and says, O man of God, come down. The king wants to talk to you. He's gone. Second one, he's a patriot and the king is good. Says, send me. So he sends him and he says, O man of God, thus hath the king said, come down quickly. We're going to toast you too. And he gets toasted. So the first one was unaware. Second one was defiant. He was like from Israel, which he was. And I'm not going to, God's not my priority. I'm not going to do that. And the third one was like, I'm seeing the light here. And he fell on his knees and begged for his life. And that's what we need to do. We are in this. We're going to get fried one way or the other. And if we're unaware, we're going to get fried. We can't be ignorant. We talked about that this morning. And we can't be defiant, because God does not like that either. And he will fry us. We need to be reverent. We need to fall on our knees and praise God and worship God. And I can just see God going, now I have someone I can work with. And those are my thoughts for this morning. I think what we do here is very important. The praising of God, the praying, the encouraging, the edifying. I can't say that I saw that before COVID. I always, for 52 years, I've been probably 52 and three quarters years, I've been doing this, and I think it was right and good. I just didn't see quite the importance of it, I guess. And then this last 3 months or whatever I've seen things differently, and I think it's very important, very important. So, all right. We'll offer an invitation this time. So if you want to be right with God, now's the time when we can help you as we stand and sing the closing song.